So for me, I'm encouraged by what's going on and watching the growth. And we tend to talk about Danny a lot, and when you talk to national reporters and when you talk to coaches on the other team, they see it. So a lot of times it's hard to see the forest through the trees, but we have some guys playing very well. That's going to be the foundation of our team, and they're going to be the ones that help us get over the top. And going from plays, talking to Mr. Rooney at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh had a long history of losing and then winning. And but I asked him, I said, "Who's your best player?" Because they've had Hall of Fame players and Super Bowls and all that. And with all their players going from way back when, he said Joe Green. And it was interesting that it was a defensive player versus all those studs on offense. And sometimes one player and one play, whether it's an immaculate reception or something, can get you over the top. And I'm hoping that our guys sense that, somewhere it's going to be one player or one play that go, "Wow, I get what you're talking about, coach. We can be pretty good."
You've been with Joe Hayden in a Pro Bowl season for him. He's missed some games this year with injury. He's played hurt. How do you think this season is going for him and what he's given you?
Yeah, I think he missed 10 games last year. Then he did not practice, I believe, really until the maybe the third preseason game, maybe. I don't remember. He's always, for the most part, been on the team's top receiver. And would he say he's 100% healthy? Probably not, but nobody is. I think he's having a, for him, probably for him, he would say probably an average year. He would probably expect a little bit more from him. I think the league leader in picks has five. It may be the kid from Kansas City, Marcus Peters. I believe Joe has three, I think. So I'd say for him, average, just because we expect so much more out of him. I'm sure he does too. He knows he can play at a very high level. He's done it. The accolades, the respect that people have for him. And obviously, when you go against, the Antonio Browns and the Odell Beckham Juniors and the AJ Greens and all the guys that he's been against, they're going to catch some of theirs just because of the way the league is. But we and he expects, a lot more out of him, meaning he expects himself to be one of the top players in the league.
You just mentioned Odell.
Yeah.
For Joe and for you guys.
Yeah, every week, it really is. Every week there's a guy for the other team, and it is. I think it's a marquee matchup. It's what you want. It's really what was last night when you watch NFL football. There was a matchup in the Dallas-Washington game. There was one in the Pittsburgh game. I didn't get to see the Detroit game. But there's always probably a marquee matchup of somebody, because everybody has that LeBron-type wide receiver that is a dominant guy. So, which is good, because I'm sure for Joe, he knows every play. It could be coming to 13.
What did you like about them that you decided to go with those two guys?
What we're trying to find is obviously consistency of play back there. And it gave us a little bit. And Derek probably had his best game tackling and command of the huddle, command of the defense, how to set it and how to run. And what we hope, and what I said, I think last week I said something about breathe, just breathe, For him, I hope he took a deep breath and understands I can play in this league, but there's a lot of things that are demanded mentally and physically to play the position and the responsibility that position holds, because he's the deepest guy or one of them. So for him, obviously it's can you do it 2 weeks in a row? Now can you do it 3 weeks in a row? Now can you be a pro? And for Ed, the same thing, just command of the defense and understanding. Again, I keep saying, the awesome responsibility of being the last guy in the line of defense. And, if you respect that authority and responsibility, and you can do it, you probably help us look a little better, because guys, you don't get big plays.
Before last week, there was some report that, and I can't quote directly, but there was some report that maybe you might be someone that would be kind of on the hot seat because of the way this defense has played this year, but that Hughes supports you wholeheartedly. Obviously, you're playing with eight rookies and a lot of really young guys, and as you said, you're getting better. But do you Do you worry about that at all, that it could fall on you?
The old unnamed sources. That's why I love talking to you guys and using my name on things, because you know, I don't hide from anything. I don't live that way. I don't want my kids to live that way. I don't want my players to live that way. I would think, man, what an awful life if you got to worry all the time about stuff. You know, you do the best job you can in life with what you have, meaning personally. So do I worry that way? I think you guys know me very well, I think. I try to be very honest and very fair. I don't live that way. You know, I've been in this business a long time, and, you know, I go back and you look at, you know, whether you pull up Tom Landry's record when he first started, you pull up Bill Walsh's record when he first started, you pull up Jimmy Johnson's record when he first started, you can pull up a lot of records, and I'm not comparing myself to them, please don't think I am. But you go through things in this business. You look at the, locally, you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. They had a LeBron. LeBron left. LeBron came back. You know, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. And to answer your question very bluntly, I don't live that way. I never have, and hopefully I never will.
When you look at Eli, I mean, obviously his numbers are great, mm-hmm. top 10 and all-time and stuff. But does he look, we do push a game like this is a guy that we can get some turnovers off of just because he's had that history, and I think he's thrown 10 this year?
I was going to say, I think he has 10 interceptions this year, so... You know, you look at one a game, so how many do you think you're going to get? Well, on average, you get one a game. But I've said for us, the key for us to help our team win is tackles and turnovers, meaning we got to tackle the guy with the ball or the catch, however you want to look at that. And somewhere we got to produce turnovers to help our offense get a short field or score. So every week we go in that way. And Eli has two Super Bowl rings somewhere. I don't know if he keeps them in the safe deposit box or at home. He brings them, he wears them, what he does with them. But, you know, he's got two of them. So I respect anybody that has that hardware with him. And he has complete control of the huddle. You can tell the coach has allowed him to – they never change personnel. And he, whether he calls them on the field or not, he has the ability to. So I respect Eli because of what he has in his pocket, I guess.
Think about the 193 mm-hmm. start streak that mm-hmm. he has right now.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's probably Brett or his brother somewhere in there, meaning healthy game start. It is. It's a testament to the lineman that they've had, his ability to throw the ball and not get hit, and probably something that a lot of people, I mean, you don't look at him and go, because he's not a big frame quarterback, is his toughness and his will to finish a game and start. I mean, that's quite a testament, I think, when your quarterback does that, to say it doesn't matter what's up front or how many hits I get, guys, I'm going to be here for you.
Ray, what's your coaching points or your big takeaway from the end of the first half for you guys?
The end of the first half?
Sunday with the untimed downs and all that.
Oh, yeah. It was what it was, and it would have been a big boost for us to go down. I think it was 6-3, I think, at that time. To go in that way and not to give up a touchdown. It was this unfortunate sort of set of circumstances that kind of surprised me, but then kind of did not, knowing Coach Tomlin, with him going for all the two-point plays, to have no time on the clock to kind of go for it. But then again, you know, we had told our players they had gone for a 0-second play basically against San Francisco, and they ran San Diego, and they ran a wildcat play. So not surprised that Coach Tomlin would do something like that, but you think, you know, you might want to take the points, your sure points, and it could have been a huge momentum swing in the game, and probably it was a little bit for them going in at halftime, but I know our guys were fired up coming out of halftime.
The long drives that they had, do you look at it both positive and negative, the fact that they were able to stay on the field for so long, but you held them to field goals on three of those, I think.
Yeah, for us, you know, there's a lot of statistics and whatever you want to say. The bottom line is, for us as a defense, our job is to keep the game close and help our offense win. And that's what we want. And, you know, games go so weird. You know, points, sometimes you win 37-35, sometimes you win 17-16. The bottom line is, you know, keep your team with the chance to win in the fourth quarter, and for the most part we did that. So, you know, really as a team concept, that's what you want. You want somewhere to have a chance to win the game, and off you go. And So the long drives, I think if you said, can you hold Ben to no touchdown passes, and I think Antonio, it was a run that they got in, you would think you'd have a pretty good chance to win the game that way. And you don't always want, you know, one thing skewed too far left or right, but you know, each week is different, and if we could do the same thing this week to help our team get a chance to win in the fourth quarter, I'd sign up for that right now.
Have you challenged Carl Nassib to, you know, to step it up a little bit, maybe affect the quarterback a little bit more?
We always do, and the thing I said yesterday, and the players probably laughed, and maybe you guys will know this or not, I don't know if another NFL player has ever sacked his brother. So that's kind of our goal is, you know, that you talked about 193 for Eli, is to get Eli out of the game and let Ryan come in and see if Carl can maybe, whoever picks up the bill tonight or tomorrow night for dinner, maybe that'll give him a little incentive to get after his brother.